ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined online by my dear brother, friend, and lover, Jacob Alka. How are you?
Good morning, Garrett. I'm tired. What's up?
I'm a bit sleepy myself. It's an early morning podcast once again, but I'm very, very glad to be here with you, Jacob. There are two things that get me out of bed in the morning. One would be coffee. Second would be video games, and we're doing both now. Granted, we're not playing video games, but we're talking about many of them. And I'm excited to talk about them with you, Jacob. How is your Wednesday looking, aside from the podcast?
Well, just looking out the window, it looks very dark and wet. So I'm not excited about that, but I actually have a pretty easy day, which I'm looking forward to. I'm just going to the gym, and that's literally it. Like, it's a true day off where I have nothing to do, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Jacob, what a wonderful time you have ahead, Jacob.
I know.
I'm a tad envious myself, but I'm happy for you at the same time. I'm going to choose honor over envy today, Jacob. I honor the fact that you have a day off, and I hope you enjoy every second of it. In spite of the gloomy weather, I actually, you know, there are times where I really enjoy gloomy weather, and today I think is one of those days.
Oh, really?
Especially because we're so close to Halloween, it being, you know, the 30th today. So it is just in time to be a bit spooky out.
Yeah. Yeah. Halloween's Thursday, I guess. It's crazy. It might even be Halloween by the time people listen to this, or maybe it's even past. Definitely. Hope everyone had a good Halloween if it has passed.
Yes, I second the notion. Do you have any Halloween plans?
I don't. Just, you know, working throughout the day. I'm not much of a Halloween guy, Garrett. I'm going to be honest. Like, I just don't really care that much. I didn't grow up really. Like, I went trick-or-treating, don't get me wrong, but it just never, like, resonated with me that Halloween was, you know, an important holiday. I know it means a lot to you, but me personally.
It was the one night of the year where I could truly be Batman. And I was Batman many, many years as a child, so... that was a dream fulfilled for me, but I do love Halloween. I love the whole season. I recently carved pumpkins. It was great. I hadn't done that in at least 10 years, so that was really fun. And I'm going to a Halloween party for the first time in many years as well.
Oh,
on Thursday, so that should be fun.
Nice. But
I'm kind of double-dipping the Halloween parties. For whatever reason, there's another Halloween party on November 1st, the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
So we're going to party one more time while everyone is embracing the holiday season. Because, you know, it's the funniest thing to me how it'll be Halloween and the next morning there are Christmas commercials on TV.
Yeah.
So,
I love it personally.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I love the Christmas season as well, but I like to begin celebrating Christmas the day of Thanksgiving personally.
Yeah. I get that.
There's been situations in my house, my parents' house in the past, where we'll have our Christmas tree up before Halloween, if you can believe that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember my mom's excuse that year was, well, we have family coming into town, you know, for Thanksgiving, but your dad and I are going to be out of town for the first few weeks of November, so we just need to go ahead and put it up now. So that was the most horrific part of that Halloween, was having the Christmas tree up on Halloween.
Yeah, at that point, it just becomes part of the house.
At that point, you may as well just leave it up all year.
Yeah. Which I'm sure some people do. Like, some people leave their Christmas lights up all year.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. That is a new level of laziness and just being purely lackadaisical.
Yeah.
I honestly commend people for doing that.
Oh, man. But yeah, I love Christmas, since we're on the subject. But besides my Wednesday, I gotta say, I've had a pretty boring week. Nothing really major happened at all. And, I was kind of sitting here before we did the podcast trying to think of, like, what the heck did I actually do this week? And, like, I'm just drawing a blank because I can't think of anything significant that I did. I've been playing Modern Warfare all weekend, which we'll talk about here shortly, I'm sure. And, like, literally, I did nothing fun. I watched the Falcons get destroyed again.
Again.
Which is no surprise to anyone that watches the NFL now. But, you know, that's pretty much me right now, Garrett. Trying to wake up over here. I have no coffee. So
no coffee? What are you doing?
I didn't have enough time to make it.
I overslept. Coffee. There's always time for coffee, Jacob.
Well, I felt like you were waiting on me, so I didn't want to keep you longer.
You could have coffee while looking up the articles you were looking at.
Yeah, well, I was half asleep, and it didn't cross my mind.
Man, that's the first thing that crosses my mind when I'm half asleep, but okay.
But
sorry to hear that, pal.
I'll survive with my water. But how you doing, dude?
I'm doing just fine, Jacob. I've also played a fair amount of Call of Duty. I have a feature hitting COG maybe today, maybe the following day, called Six Things I Love About Modern Warfare. I've done a handful of these types of videos in the past, but I may or may not get to work on the video version today. That's yet to be seen. It depends on how my schedule plays out, but that was kind of fun to work on. And there are six things that I do genuinely love about the game, which we'll get into here in a bit. But aside from that, Jacob, I did not do much myself. I've been working on a couple classmates' projects this week, keeping me busy with school. And work itself has been fine. I actually ran sound for a Halloween circus act last night. There was just a bunch of dance sequences and stuff. People dressed up as zombies and skeletons and a bunch of contortionists doing some tricks and stuff. But the highlight of the show was this dog that looked exactly like Toto from The Wizard of Oz. It was one of the most talented animals I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was jumping through hoops and climbing on people and giving a specific amount of dog kisses, doing spinning and playing dead. I mean, it was unbelievable. I wanted to get the dog's business card, you know, possibly cast him in a film or two, but he was amazing. So that was definitely a highlight of my week so far at Smith's, was seeing that dog do a bunch of Halloween tricks.
What an absolute legend.
He was, yeah, he was absolutely a legend. I'll send you a video later. It's hilarious.
Please do.
But yeah, aside from that, Jacob, it's been pretty laid back. And today I have class and I have work later. So
cool.
Yay.
Yep. But I'm happy to be here with you, Jacob. What have you been playing? Anything besides Modern Warfare?
No. Just been playing Modern Warfare. Played a couple games of Apex, but nothing really worth talking about.
Cool. Yeah, I have every intention of jumping into Outer Worlds after I review Star Wars. I'm very, very excited to play that, especially as it gets closer to the Christmas season. I love a good RPG around Christmas for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm holding off until I review Star Wars, which should be fairly soon now. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, just Call of Duty for me, Jacob. How are you feeling about that game?
I have a love-hate relationship with Modern Warfare, just like I do with pretty much any Call of Duty. To be honest, love the campaign to start off. Have you played any of the campaign?
I've played, I think, a little more than half of it.
Okay, I think I'm like a little past that. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell how many missions there are and how long the story is because there's so many different beats that I've witnessed. But I'm really enjoying it. I think, and obviously, the game's really pretty, very realistic. Captain Price is back. He does a fine job. We were talking a little bit last night, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but you were saying that the story isn't necessarily memorable for you so far. Is that true?
Well, let me say this. I like the story. I think the gameplay is excellent, and the pacing, the missions. I'm rambling. The pacing is phenomenal. The missions are fun. The characters are very cool and badass, but I don't care about any of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the game is so fast-paced, and it's more, and this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It is more focused just purely on good gameplay versus really diving into these characters' backstories or what their motivations are. I get that they're soldiers and they have a mission and they have to take care of everything, but I compare it to Infinity Ward's Infinite Warfare, which we've talked about extensively. And the reason why I think that campaign was so effective, in spite of the ridiculous space setting, was that the characters were not only relatable in a sense, but you connected with them because they all had personal stakes and the grander narrative. Whereas in this game, unless I just need to finish it and there's more to it than meets the eye, as cool as Captain Price is in this game and as cool as the other guy is and the female soldier, I can't remember her name, they're all very cool and fun to watch on screen. The performances are great, but I just don't care about any of them at all. And it's just because there are no personal stakes. But aside from that, I do think it's very fun to play. It's a very welcome return, of course. And it's also not nearly as brutal or gruesome as rumors has suggested, and even the warning at the beginning, like, there's mature content in this. I mean, I haven't even been, maybe I'm just completely numb to stuff like that now, but I'm not even remotely fazed by any of it, but it's still very fun. So yeah,
there's one mission in particular where you kind of play as a little girl, like, I think past halfway. And it's a little gruesome in terms of what happens. Like, it kind of made me, like, a little uneasy at some points. But it wasn't, like, you know, something where I had to, like, put it down because I was just so offended, you know? Like, it's nothing right. like that. It's just, you know, it's just seeing, like, trying to put yourself in their shoes and, like, witnessing what's happening on the screen. Like, it's kind of, like, you know, heartbreaking in a sense. But you'll have to let me know your thoughts when you get to that point. But yeah, when you said that last night, I was kind of like agreeing with you because, like, now that I think about it, the story is just kind of, it's really fast paced. Like, you just go mission, which is not unordinary for Call of Duty. But I don't know, like, you're right with, like, Infinite Warfare's campaign, like, the characters and the overall plot of, like, saving the universe from Jon Snow just kind of resonated more to me than this game does. But that's not to say that this campaign is bad. I think it's solid in many ways, and I'm still enjoying it, and I'm going to finish it because I know it's not that long, so it's gonna be a nice little, you know, we'll see how the ending is. Hopefully it pays off, and, you know, I've heard there's a tease of a new character at the end, so
cool.
We'll see what that soap. Is what about multiplayer, yeah. Garrett, how do you feel about that?
Well, I was gonna say one other thing on Call of Duty's campaign.
Okay, sure, sorry.
It isn't the lack of cutscenes that are, like, delineating for me. I think it's a good thing that it is almost entirely gameplay. But I do think the cutscenes in Infinite Warfare are what contributed to me caring about those characters. But like I said, gameplay at the end of the day is always going to be king to me. And I would always choose gameplay in a Call of Duty over, like, just an unbelievable, unforgettable story. As great as it was in Infinite Warfare, I don't need that from every Call of Duty. At the end of the day, I am glad just that there is a campaign and it is really fun to play. So, yeah, Dan. But multiplayer, sick. It's funny, Jacob. I had played very well in multiplayer up until last night, and it's like a switch went off, and I was, like, historically, unbelievably bad at the game last night. Like, I was genuinely shocked at how much my ass was kicked last night. It was so bad.
You got destroyed.
And that's the sad part, is that it reminds me of some Call of Duties where it isn't that I can't point my gun and shoot someone correctly. I literally at times, most of the time, at least last night, just don't even have an opportunity to shoot at someone because I'm just blowing up, getting shot in the back, getting spawn killed, and rarely just have a genuine firefight with people. Whereas through the alpha, through the beta, and even the first couple of days of the game being on the market, I had just awesome firefights with people, and I wouldn't be spectacular by any means, but I'd have some strong matches. But last night, man, was like all hell broke loose. I'm like, what happened in the last 2 days yeah. that made it this chaotic?
It could be that people just know the maps really well now.
It must be, man, because I am admittedly still figuring them out, because there are a lot of nooks and crannies, there are a lot of alternate pathways, and obviously they've done a really great job of hiding the three lanes that are in the map, and that they've openly admitted this. I mean, the three lanes exist, but they've intentionally added different pathways. There are, of course, power points in the maps now. There are many flanking positions and even objects and stuff you can climb up on that aren't that obvious that give you just points of power to control. And I'm finding myself running into those places far too often and getting killed. So, and I mean, I found a benefit too in just taking it easy and not sprinting around everywhere. Because I'm sure everyone's noticed that the sound design is critical in this game, because you can hear people running around everywhere, which I love.
Yeah, you can hear people crouch walking around a corner.
Yeah. So I've noticed that if you just, I mean, at times, I mean, it's good to, like, sprint around and go crazy like a madman. But in my experience, more often than not, just kind of taking it easy, mounting up on corners or creeping through doors sometimes is more effective than just bursting through them like a maniac. But that's what's funny. Is last night I got my ass kicked, but I had fun the entire time. I was, of course, frustrated at times, but overall, man, I'm still having a great time with multiplayer.
Yeah.
How you feeling about it?
Honestly, kind of similar. When we were playing last night, it was funny. Like, right before that, I was having, like, you know, really fun games, positive KD. Then, you know, I join up with you and Preston, and I'm like, you know, all right. It's the first time I play with you guys in multiplayer. We're gonna slay these guys. We're gonna do well. No, my two least favorite maps came up first, which was the one with the bridge. I don't remember what it's called, but the one that, like, desert with the bridge.
Yeah,
I think we played Domination on that, or maybe it's TDM. That was the one where we just got spawn camped. Like, we couldn't leave our our spawn. Like,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
People just sniping us from the bridge, sniping us from the mounds under the bridge. Like, I think that game I went like 3-12. Like, it was awful.
Yeah, it's a shame. I had a pretty strong... I think even Preston said this. We both had pretty strong KDs going into last night. By the end, ours were just obliterated completely. I was like, well, okay.
And then after that map, we went straight into Piccadilly, which is the one that's on the street with the buses. That map,
I don't know if it's just bad or I just haven't figured it out, but that was one of the worst multiplayer experiences I have ever had. Not ever had, but in a long time. Like, I was blown away just how bad that was.
Like, I'm not just, like, saying that I think it's bad. Like, unanimously, like, across streams, across, like, Reddit I've been reading, like, people hate Piccadilly. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, what in the world is that map?
It's a nightmare. Because it's just out in an open street. There's so many... super long sight lanes where it's just, yeah. It's almost like asking to use a sniper every match.
Right.
Like, and I don't like sniping that much personally in Call of Duty. So it's kind of frustrating because I feel like that's what I need to be using. But there are, you know, lanes where you can run a shotgun, which was also frustrating because we ran into a guy last night in that match who was just running around on one side of the map, shotgunning everyone. So I had to like switch to my shotgun too.
Has the range of like a 50 cal sniper rifle. It's unbelievable. Dude, the
shotguns have insane range. It's ridiculous.
I'll be the first to admit, man, it is a ton of fun to use, but getting killed by that thing, man, drives me insane.
It's arguably OP. I think they need to nerf it a little bit.
Yeah, even just a little bit would satisfy me for sure. Yeah.
Like maybe have both shots be a kill, not just one. Because it has like funny a double though, shot.
Jacob, I mean, and talking about our frustrations, I just already want to go back and play it so bad.
Same. Yeah, like I was thinking about it before I went to bed last night. It's like, yeah. I had so much fun.
Yeah, it is really good. And I just cannot get enough of the audio and animations in that game, dude. It is just so good. It looks awesome. It sounds incredible. And all the weapons in their own right, even in their standard stock state, feel unique and different, and you can just tweak the hell out of them with Gunsmith. Because I've, you know, obviously the deeper we get into the game being on the market, the more variety of weapons we can pick up and experience, especially when you can steal someone's loadout after they kill you with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much, and I've just picked up so many variations of the M4 alone, especially. That's still a very popular weapon, but I'm looking forward to unlocking a few more assault rifles and earning attachments for them, because the M4 was very effective for me for the first few days of the game being out, but now it is, I mean, granted, I don't get to shoot it very often because I'm getting blown up half the time, but I do want to branch out a bit more and experiment with some assault rifles. Have always been my favorite. I'm sure there's a few submachine guns that are good too, but even on mouse and keyboard, man, snipers, when you get a shot in, feel incredible.
Yeah,
aside from a couple of map complaints I have and the spawning that I still think could use some work, I am loving every second of it, even when I get my ass kicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So,
are there any game modes that like really stand out for you aside from the traditional ones?
I like Search and Destroy. I think some of the maps really work well with that. I've always been a big TDM guy, so I love TDM. Domination's fun. I'm not a big fan of Cyber Attack for whatever reason. Like, I know a lot of people like it, but every time I play it, I'm not digging it for some reason. But I'm glad people are enjoying it. And then also, we tried to do gunfight last night, me and you, but we couldn't find a match, so I don't know what that means about the mode. I mean, we were playing late at night, but I don't know. It was weird. I expected just to jump right into a match. I think we had one person in, but we never found a fourth.
I think the game's having a couple of matchmaking issues. Maybe it's just my internet, I don't know, but we were having trouble finding a couple matches last night, and I noticed it wasn't just gunfight. Even in Team Deathmatch and Cyber Attack, we didn't even have full teams. So I mean, there was a couple of matches that you, me, and Steven joined where it was just the three of us versus like five people.
Yeah.
So it was having issues, but Wamblam and I played Gunfight, I think the second day the game was out, and went 6-0. We won six matches in a row. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
Gunfight is probably still my favorite mode in the game. I just love how it is just pure skill-based competitive gunplay. I mean, it's just you and your gun. And communication with your teammate. No kill streaks, no perks, just good old-fashioned weapons. So
I feel that.
Love that mode a lot. And I love the small symmetrical maps. I think it's killer. And just it just stems from like the love I've always had for arena shooters in general. So I love Gunfight. I do really like Cybertech. I still need to figure it out and kind of learn stronger strategies, because that was just a waste of space last night when we played. But I do like that mode a lot. I just think the idea is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that there's maps like specifically made for it too. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and I of course love Domination and Team Deathmatch. I've yet to try Realism mode, so I really am interested to try that. I still think Ground War is just, and I think I say this in my article I wrote, it's just unbridled pandemonium. It feels like just total insanity, but I do think it's a very strong Battlefield-inspired mode. And I'm sure when they further tweak it and continue to evolve the game a bit, it'll be a really fun mode to play.
Yeah.
But I think Gunfight is by far my favorite multiplayer so far.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Steven that you mentioned earlier, before we started playing with him, we match made into a match against him. And it was on that map that has the hazmat building. I don't remember what it's called. The B point's like in the middle of the two buildings overlooking it. The reason I knew it was him is because I ran into a building, like sprinting, thinking, you know, this is our building. It's our side of the map, you know.
Yeah.
There's not going to be anyone in here. I sprint in the first doorway, round the corner, shotgunned in the face, instantly die. I'm like, what the heck, man? So I look at the kill cam. There's a dude sitting in the corner with the shotgun. That's OP. You're just sitting there. I look at the name, Confucius Say. It's, you know, it's the guy we met in Atlanta a couple days ago, just shotgunning me in the face. So it's like, oh, okay, dude, I see how it is.
Good to see you again, Steven.
I see our meeting was for nothing, you know. But then after that, we joined up.
I kid you not, I think Steven killed me at least 12 times with that shotgun. And that's the thing, he wasn't camping when he killed me, dude. He just straight up kicked my ass. And after that match he joined us, I'm like, dude, I'm just glad you're on our team now. Because that was awful for me. But that's when I found out that shotgun is just an absolute destroyer of worlds. Because it is incredibly powerful and fun to use, so... Yeah. I may dabble in that gun a bit more before they inevitably nerf it at this point.
You should. It's fun to use. Anytime I use it, I do well.
Yeah, but I've had a lot of fun with it. Gunfight's awesome. I love the 2v2, but I'd also like to see Team Tactical make a return. I don't know if some of these maps are too large for 3-on-3, but maybe if they implemented a couple of the old Call of Duty maps, you could do some Team Tactical. But a lot of the new maps I really, really like. I think Hackney Yard is awesome. I think Azir Cave is good. I think it's called Grazna something. It's like it's one of the maps that Game Informer showed off before the game came out. I really like that map a lot. But I'd love to see the return of some old maps. I'd like to see Backlot come back. I think I've heard rumors from Modern Warfare 2's, what's that? It's like the one in the mountains. I can't remember what it's called. The Crash Plane.
I didn't play MW2.
I can't remember the name of it, but, I've heard rumors that map's coming back. That'd be cool.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm down. I'm just, it's the nostalgic or the nostalgia in me. I just would love to see some return to the old ones, but yeah, it's been a great time, man.
Yeah, I'd love some new maps. Get rid of these new maps. I don't like them, most of them.
Yeah, there's just a couple I don't like, but there are a few that I think are genuinely fantastic.
That's probably my biggest bummer about the multiplayer is that I don't like most of the maps. So it's hard to like, you know, be jazzed about, oh, we're getting this map finally, you know, like. So I just like look at all of them. I'm just like, ugh. It's this map, okay. Let's try and do our best, you know.
Yeah.
Try not run out in the open and get killed by five different angles.
Right. Is there a gun range that I'm unaware of?
Not that I know of.
Okay, because I'm surprised with the inclusion of Gunsmith. You would think that there would be a gun range to really test fire your weapons before you take them out in the field.
Yeah, there are private matches. So if you want to,
that's true.
Boot one of those up.
I feel like it'd be so much easier to be in Gunsmith, and you know it says preview weapon. At first, I was like, "Oh, great, I can go fire it," but it just shows like a 3D rendering of it, which is cool. But it'd be nice if you could just jump into a gun range real quick and shoot it, and you would know instantly.
I agree.
That's a surprising. I'm surprised that feature's lacking in this Call of Duty, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't used a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, but. I'd say, in conclusion for me, Jacob, despite my grievances with just a couple of the aspects of the game, I think overall it is probably my favorite Call of Duty since Black Ops 2, easily.
Oh, wow.
And I've loved the other Call of Duties. I mean, I liked aspects of World War One or World War II. I liked Infinite Warfare's campaign, of course. And Black Ops 3 had fun. Well, did Black Ops 3 have good multiplayer? I can't remember. Oh, no, that was the one out of wall running and stuff.
I didn't
care for that. So, yeah, I think it's easily my favorite since Black Ops 2.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and it's just a wonderful evolution for the franchise. Animations, audio, graphics, mechanics, game modes. I think it's just really, really strong. And I'm thinking primarily in terms of multiplayer, but even the return of the campaign is great. So I cannot wait to play it again, personally.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. I think it is probably the best since BO2. I like it more than Black Ops 4, for sure. I enjoyed Blackout for a while in that game, but eventually
this
I just kind of stopped
playing.
This game
literally makes Black Ops 4 look and feel like a cartoon. It's just because Black Ops I mean, Call of Duty's always felt to an extent somewhat arcadey, but this one just feels so much more realistic and intense versus Black Ops 4. Just feels like a comic book or something, which is fine. I mean, I had fun with Black Ops 4, but this game's just on a whole other level mechanically and graphically. I mean, presentation in general, but game modes and just approach to it overall is just completely different in a lot of ways. So that's why I'm excited. It just feels like a truly fresh Call of Duty experience for the first time, and I feel like more than a decade. So, and I know for me personally, these are I didn't really ever know what I wanted or how I wanted Call of Duty to evolve, but this is outstanding to me. I'd love to see them continue on this track. I don't know what they could do next after this, but I guess this is the kind of thing I was hoping for. So I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the game a lot. So sweet. I got nothing else to talk about, dude, unless you just want to jump into the news.
I don't think I have anything else to talk about either, Jake. I'm taking a peek at my notes here. Not really.
I got about five stories that we could jump into.
Oh, perfect. I got some myself. Some of ours might overlap, so I'll let you kind of introduce us.
Okay. You want to bring us in or whatever we do now?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the It's Obvious podcast where my best friends and I gather every single week to discuss video games and more. Our dear brother, Preston Pugh, who is typically the third member of this podcast, is out and about in the world, staying busy, working hard, and unfortunately cannot be with us for a while, which really, really sucks. But there might be a weekend here that he can slip in again because we miss him terribly. Preston, if you're listening, you're beautiful, and we wish you the best, brother. What else am I forgetting? This podcast is available on a multitude of platforms, including, I think YouTube, guys, I gotta be honest, is probably just dead because, YouTube video is not doing well at all. So I don't think I'm going to do that anymore unless just an upheaval of YouTube listeners let us know that they want it because, it never does too well. So I'd say the main platforms are Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and all the other podcasting services that exist on the planet for the most part. So you can listen there, and we encourage you to join our Discord where the community exists, and we have a great time week in and week out. And you can find all of the information to our social media and our Discord and all the descriptions of all the podcasting services, and we'd love to have you. All that being said, Jacob, I guess we can jump into the news.
This comes to us by Michael McWhorter from Polygon Garrett, and the article goes, The Last of Us 2, The Last of Us Part 2, delayed May 2020.
29th to be exact.
Yes, thank you. So the article, I'm just going to read a little short paragraph here. The Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed to May 29th, 2020. Developer Naughty Dog and Sony Interactive Entertainment said on Thursday. The PlayStation 4 exclusive was previously slated for a February 21st, 2020 release date, but the Last of Us game director Neil Druckmann says, we simply didn't have enough time to bring the entire game up to a level of polish we would call Naughty Dog quality. So, Garrett, I assume you're not really angry at this, I guess move or delay. That's the word I'm looking for, to May, because it was in a very busy time at the beginning of this year or next year with, this game, Final Fantasy VII, Doom, Cyberpunk. I know I'm forgetting a couple other games, but, personally, I'm kind of glad that this game has kind of moved out of that window and it's kind of coming out in the same time that the first one did, so it just kind of makes sense to me. What are your thoughts on all of this?
I echo every word you said, Jacob. Perfect. I was going to say the biggest thing for me is that it's just closer. I think the first one came out like June 4th or 5th or 6th maybe originally. Not that that even matters, but it is closer to the original, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And it being Naughty Dog, I imagine Sony was like, you know, if you need till 2025, so be it. So I do find it odd that they announced it and so shortly after they announced a delay.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just weird to me. Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. don't get me wrong, like I'm still just as excited for the game because, you know, as we get older, life just flies by. So we'll be playing this tomorrow. That's what it's going to feel like. Yeah. But, and there's plenty to play between now and then. But I do find it strange that they announce it and then a few short weeks later they delay it. But yeah, oh well,
you got to feel for them on that front because they put all that effort into the, you know, the release, that whatever it was, like some, it was like a big press, you know, event where people got to play the game and stuff. And then shortly after this kind of announced that it's delayed. That's got to be frustrating for them.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a PS5 remaster as they did with Last of Us Part 1.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I just think it's going to be backwards compatible.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Probably like backwards compatible, maybe like an up-res version or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. If you had PS5, that'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm still excited. It doesn't change anything for me, and I'm fine with waiting. Like we said, you know, Final Fantasy is going to be out. Doom's going to be out. Cyberpunk. And I'm sure there's more in there, too, that I'm overlooking. So
yeah.
It's all good, baby.
Speaking of delays. Did you mention the Ubisoft delays? What was that?
Did you mention the Ubisoft delays?
I'm literally jumping into it now.
Awesome.
Speaking of delays, Ubisoft delays multiple titles, including Watch Dogs Legion. This comes to us by Jay Peters from The Verge. Today, Ubisoft announced that it's delaying Gods and Monsters, Rainbow Six Quarantine, and Watch Dogs Legion to its fiscal 2020 to 2021 year. That means these games could be all released sometime between April 2020 and March 2021, so we'll be waiting a bit longer for them. Gods and Monsters, a cartoony action-adventure game set in Greek mythology by the makers of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, has been set to release on February 25th, 2020. Watch Dogs Legion, the next game from the Watch Dogs series, which lets you take control of almost any NPC in the game, had originally been scheduled for March 6th, 2020. We didn't know of a release date for Rainbow Six Quarantine, a tactical co-op shooter, beyond sometime 2020. In a statement, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot said that the delay was to give the teams more development time to ensure that their respective innovations are perfectly implemented to deliver optimal experiences to more players. So, what do you think, Garrett?
Well, I don't really have interest in any of these games.
Yeah, same.
So it's fine with me. That is wild that they delay all of that altogether.
So I was listening to... What was I listening to? It might have been Kind of Funny? It might have been one of their Gamecasts, or not Gamecasts, Games Daily episodes. And one of their hosts was listening to the earnings call where they announced all this. And apparently all the shareholders were super angry at Yves Guillemot because of the disappointing sales in not only Division 2, but Ghost Recon, not Wildlands, Breakpoint.
Yeah, the Ghost Recon one does not surprise me at all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was surprised to hear that anyone was interested in that. Maybe I'm just ignorant to Ghost Recon. And I did really like what I played of Wildlands, but Breakpoint, out of everything I'd seen, just never grabbed me like Wildlands did.
It's just weird because Wildlands sold so well, and then this game just bombed. Like, and it seems like they did a lot of the same things.
I mean, it's got to be just Ubisoft fatigue, honestly, because their games are so similar. And don't get me wrong, a lot of their games are a lot of fun to play, but they're so similar in so many ways.
I think that's exactly it, Garrett. Like, I've almost completely, entirely stopped playing their games because I know what every game is going to be. And not that all their games are, like, in the same, like, they're not, like, the same games, but whenever I think Ubisoft, I just think of, like, busy work, like, so much stuff to do that I can't even finish the game, and a story that's not going to be all that enticing or satisfying to me. And that's sort of what I've just kind of blanketed over all their games, unfortunately, but I think it's, you know, it's fair in my defense because that's kind of what it's turned into. Like Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, like all these games, Division, like they're all just, they're kind of the same. Like they all play differently and they'll have unique things about them. But I don't really think any of them have like a real identity anymore. And because of that, I just kind of stopped playing all of them. I haven't been interested in Watch Dogs since the first one. After I got burned on that, I just kind of gave up on the franchise. Assassin's Creed I'm still interested in, but I haven't played the last two or three. So will I play this new one that gets announced maybe this coming year? I don't know. We'll see. But definitely don't care about any of the Rainbow Six games. Or I know they also mentioned that, it was not mentioned here in the article, but there's like an add-on to, oh wait, yeah, it is. It's Rainbow Six. What am I saying? Okay. But yeah, you know, it's disappointing for Ubisoft fans. I know there are a lot of them out there that enjoy these kind of games, but obviously they're starting to see the negative returns on what they're doing with their franchises. So I expect to see major changes going forward for many of their franchises, and hopefully, you know, like they start to make each of these games stand out from one another and not just do the same thing, you know, in each game.
Right. I mean, I can see Ubisoft's business strategy from afar. I'm sure everyone can. It's kind of on the nose, but it's like, okay, we're going to have all these games that keep you busy for hours on end and just hope that everyone signs up for Uplay Plus and just plays all of our games for hours on end and buys all the microtransactions and just keeps us afloat. And I'd say that there aren't awesome gameplay aspects in their games, because I was on the Rainbow Six train for a while. I've been off it now for many months, but I do really like that game. I just haven't played in so long. And I really liked Watch Dogs 1. I couldn't get into the second one for whatever reason. I think I played it for maybe an hour, and for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into it. But Assassin's Creed, I loved the first few hours I played of Odyssey. I just didn't have time to continue it. I even liked a lot of Origins, but I know Odyssey was just beyond it in many ways. And what I played of Odyssey really was awesome. I just wish I had more time to play it.
Yeah, I heard Odyssey was great. From Preston and many people.
Yeah, as far as just the open world RPG action adventure game that Assassin's Creed has become, Odyssey was definitely the best that the franchise has yet to offer, for sure. It was everything Origins was, but amplified. So it was strong. But yeah. I'm interested to see what they do next. I've heard it's maybe Vikings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's been the rumor.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. So I have no doubt Assassin's Creed will be cool, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
I've always had a problem with spending microtransactions in single-player games as well. Like, anytime I see those in their games, I'm just like, what? Like, why would I want to buy this? Like, I'm going to be done in like maybe 40, 50 hours. So like, why would I want
to? Maybe 40 or 50 hours. Speaking of playing games for a long time, I told someone the other day who never plays games that I would have to play Call of Duty for at least 3 hours to get enough gameplay for this video I'm doing. And they were like, 3 hours? Like, what? Like, how could you play a game for 3 hours?
Are you kidding me?
I was like, well, of course, I have played games for 3 hours in one sitting. I was like, I don't mean necessarily in one sitting. I just got to collectively capture 3 hours of gameplay for the video. And they were like, oh my goodness. I was like, this may surprise you, but people will rack up hundreds of hours in a game, and sometimes thousands. And they were like, shocked to hear that. They could not believe it.
How could you do that?
Yes, again, people exist out there that are just completely unaware of gaming culture and just video games in general. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is like a whole other world to people. And I have to explain, I'm like, well, think about it. I'm like, 3 hour movies exist. You can sit and watch a movie for 3 hours. It's no different. You're just in control of the character. So.
I feel that, dude.
Amazing.
What do I want to get into next? Let's do this one. We'll save the juicy one for after this one. So,
For better or worse, think about how this podcast has changed over the years. You're doing the news. Preston's gone. We're doing this over Skype. Man, all the times they are changed.
But most importantly, we're still doing it.
Yeah, yeah, we are, brother, until the end.
So I'm not going to read the article on this one, but Death Stranding does have a PC release, and it's coming out summer 2020.
Was already news, but I had not heard this from anyone.
Right. Yeah. So this is like news to me. So I wanted to talk about it. Is there any chance that you wait to play this game for next summer?
Because I don't think so. I get the feeling, you know, knowing Kojima and working exclusively with PlayStation, I have a strong feeling it's going to be exceptional, especially on PS4 Pro. So I'll probably go ahead and play it on PS4. Depending on the reviews, of course, I have a weird feeling. I don't know what it is. Everyone has been obviously so silent. You have to be when it's under embargo, but like very, very quiet. Even on COG, like the gentleman who's reviewing it has not made a peep. So
interesting.
And he's had it for a while. And I think the embargo is probably up any day now. Mm-hmm. So the world's going to find out very soon just what this game, not necessarily what it's all about, but if it's good or not. And I hope that it isn't just weird. I hope it's weird and good, not weird and bad. Because obviously it's very confusing from the outside perspective looking in. But I just have this feeling, just the closer we get, that it's going to be something remarkable. And I hope I'm right about that.
I have the opposite feeling for some reason. I feel like it's going to be a letdown in some ways.
You think so?
I couldn't tell you what it is. It's just a feeling that I have.
It's funny. It could be truly awful, but I feel like the Kojima diehards will find a way to say it's great.
Yeah, unless this game
I wish I was one of those. That's what's odd is that I played Metal Gear Solid 5, first Kojima game I've ever played, and obviously he had many issues in the developing that game with Konami, but I still found that game to be awesome. But everyone else I know that was a Metal Gear fan said it was not even close to being the best Metal Gear game in the franchise. So what do I know? So I don't know what to think or how to react to a Kojima experience. Hopefully it's fresh for everyone. But obviously a lot of the tropes are in there, like the wacky, weird game mechanics and things you can do in his games. But we'll see, man. Hopefully it's just another killer exclusive for the PlayStation library.
Yeah, many Metal Gear fans that I hear talk about 5 say that it has the best gameplay in the series, but it has the worst story.
Okay.
So,
because I did love the gameplay in 5 so much.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I felt like the whole loop of the gameplay was fantastic. Like, I enjoyed that so much. Never got around to finishing that game, but, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I do hope this game is really good. I would like to play a weird, you know, just different kind of game from Kojima, and this game is definitely going to be that. And I'm still really excited to play it. Hopefully it doesn't bomb for reviews, because that would be the only reason.
Friday. I think it comes out a week from this Friday.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. That's huge.
That's amazing too. When they announced that, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe now.
Yeah,
and we're like, "Wow, that's not going to be out till 2026." And look at it; it's coming out before everything else.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't that long. Maybe it's just a deep, really weird open world story game that's just not overly ambitious.
With a star cast.
Yeah, many stars.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's finally here.
Maybe the embargo's on Tuesday. If I had to guess, the embargo's on Tuesday.
Yeah. So hopefully next week we'll have impressions of this.
I would love, I'm eager to find out, man. Definitely.
So here's our juicy story, Garrett. Are you ready?
I was born ready, Jacob.
This comes from Richard Wakeling again.
I'm hoping you say Richard Dringle.
He's not that cool. From GameSpot. And the article's title is Fallout 76's Fallout First Subscription offers private servers, but at a high price. And the subtitle is there's going to be a fallout from this.
Richard, what's happening?
So I'm not going to read the whole article as per usual. I just want to read this little excerpt from what the subscription offers. So you can purchase a Fallout First subscription for $12.99 a month, or buy a full year at 36% discount for $99, which is a whole year, by the way. It's a steep price to pay in order to play Fallout 76 privately, either alone or with friends. For comparison, an Xbox Game Pass subscription costs $9 a month and features both Fallout New Vegas and The Outer Worlds, among a myriad of other games.
Man, at least, what a strike there.
Oh, yeah.
Tossing some shade there.
Yeah, which it's not the first time I've heard that. I've heard many people say that, which is, you know, it's a good point. At least only the owner of a private server is required to be a Fallout First member. Bethesda has also said it's looking into incorporating mod support in private worlds. So this kind of blew up because I don't know if you know this, Gary, but Fallout 76 is not a popular game still to this day. People still have a bad taste in their mouth from that game. Of course, at E3 this over the last year, they did say some good things. They said a lot of right things, actually, and promised a lot of good updates to the game. But people did not expect this for a game that is struggling, and I assume is struggling to hold on to players. Of course, I don't know that for sure. Maybe the game has a pretty healthy player base, but Honestly, I never hear about it, but that might just be because I'm not in the echo chamber. But after hearing the pricing here and, you know, after already, I'm sure, knowing about what Fallout first, what is this called? Fallout, what is this called? First subscript, Fallout First is what it's called. How do you feel about them adding a sub to this game?
I mean,
that's optional.
If people are playing the game, I've heard that people still play the game and are really into it. It's a shame because I wanted to be into that game so badly, and I have no doubt that it's improved in many ways since launch. Maybe I'm open to trying that game again at some point. I have not looked into it at all, and this is the first news I'd heard about it in a while, and I heard that NPCs had been delayed. Maybe when NPCs are implemented, maybe I'll try it again. Because I still have a heart for Fallout. I know Bethesda's had many issues recently, at least Bethesda Game Studios, but it's hard for me to kind of have a reaction to the subscription thing because it doesn't affect me at all. It is wildly expensive. I mean, I understand that having your own private server is kind of a big deal. I mean, to basically own it, I can get why they would charge that much money because they don't have to do that. But I do think it's a nice gesture. It's a nice offer, but that is definitely expensive. But I don't know what goes into maintaining a private server for someone and offering it to them, obviously. So it doesn't really affect me. So it's hard for me to react to it. But it is funny how people are just continually mentioning New Vegas and also Outer Worlds. And it's funny. And there are many, many ads in the game that I guess I'd overlooked when I was capturing gameplay. But there's one in particular of that moon character on a poster that's like stomping on something. It says like, don't like revel in the fallout of your mistakes or something. And it highlights Fallout. And I thought that was brilliant. But that just makes me even more excited to try Outer Worlds because everyone has obviously been playing it for a while now and just loving every second of it. So I'm excited to really get into it. Probably the tail end of November.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also worth bringing up again what you just said earlier about how they, at the end, like in the same announcement, they announced that they were delaying the stuff that people really wanted. And instead they like announced this. And it's like, I'm sure like that had a lot to do with like people being upset about this. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't assume this subscription to go away anytime soon. Seems like something they're pretty into. And I'd like to hear like from people listening to the podcast, like, are you guys going to pay for this? Does anyone still play Fallout 76? I'd really like to know. So yeah, let us know on Discord or in a review even. Speaking of reviews, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, or I don't know if it works like that on Google Play, but you know, you should do that. We're always looking to increase the visibility of this podcast.
And that would be sick and dope and rad if you did that.
For sure, bro.
So that's the thing, man. I've always said that if by some miracle our podcast reached a point where we could sustain ourselves through the podcast, then we would go all in on other content. That's always been a desire of our hearts. But obviously, as we get older, got to work, got to pay the bills. And of course, I know the three of us hope to have families at some point. So we can't just drop everything and hope the podcast works out. But if it grew to a point where we could sustain ourselves, I would absolutely, you know, we'd return to doing Let's Plays or game reviews or going to events and doing all kinds of other content, more like sketch-based comedy videos that we've attempted in the past. It's just obviously time's a factor and money's a factor. But we'd love to see just the podcast continue to grow, even just beyond getting to do additional content. Just the more the merrier, because everyone we've had a chance to either meet in person or talk to over Discord, or just the community that's been built up over the years has been a beautiful thing to be a part of, and we're so thankful for it. So yeah, as a side plug, please review us on Apple Podcast if you're willing.
Thank you, Garrett. So I wanted to, this next story has nothing to do with what I'm about to mention right now, but I wanted to mention that BlizzCon is this Friday. It might have already happened by the time you listen to this podcast, but there have been a ton of apparent leaks about what's going to be happening. And because they're just leaks, I didn't necessarily feel like it was worth having like a full-on discussion about. But there are many like discussions about Overwatch 2, you know, obviously bringing in a new character, the PvE mode being more like a Left 4 Dead sort of like kind of system. Diablo 4 is apparently, it might be a first-person game, which is kind of weird to me. I wasn't really expecting that. And it seems like they're trying to like fill the void of what Destiny used to provide for the company. So that was kind of interesting to me, and I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah, I kind of hope it's not like that, because I like how Diablo was, where it's like a top-down, you know, dungeon crawler. So we'll see how that turns out. But also, it's almost confirmed that the new WoW X-Pack is going to be announced, and there's been a ton of leaked info, and even what the expansion is going to be called, which is Shadowlands. It's going to be exploring like the land of the dead, and we're going to be revisiting the Lich King, which is probably the most well-known villain from World of Warcraft. So, but it's weird though, because it's going to be a different character because someone else put the helm on. See, Garrett, let me go down nerd lane here for a second. Whoever wears the Lich King's helmet gets completely controlled by this like this dead guy that possesses you, and it completely changes how you think and act. And yeah, it's someone else put the helm on at the end of one of the expansions, and he's been laying dormant ever since. But now it seems that he's coming back, Garrett. And I know you're super stoked about it.
I am. I can't stop thinking about it.
But anyway, we're not going to get any more into that. So we'll see what happens at BlizzCon this week. Hopefully, you know, I fully expect there to be protests, but hopefully none of the devs get hassled too much, because, you know, they're just making the games. You know, it's not their fault all this China stuff has happened. But I fully expect there to be some controversial stuff coming out of this show. But I'm actually going into work late on Friday because I wanted to watch the live stream to see what's announced. So we'll definitely be talking about that on next week's podcast for sure. I would roll over dead if we were not going to even talk about it. So it's going to happen, whether Garrett wants to talk about it or not.
That is fine by me, Jacob.
But our last story here is something that happened just yesterday, I think, and it is Star Wars a setback. Game of Thrones duo David Benioff and WB Wise exit trilogy, and this is by Jeff Bocher from Deadline. And actually, you know what? I don't really want to read this.
You don't have to read it because I know about it. To put it into layman's terms, very quickly.
All right, Garrett, why don't you let us know what happened?
So these boys had signed a Netflix deal not too long ago for a large sum of money, and I think Netflix has coerced them into just running with them instead of Star Wars. And there are multiple factors that kind of pile into this, I think. And I'm not pretending like I came up with all this on my own. I got a lot of this news from Grace Randolph from Beyond the Trailer. But Star Wars obviously is a behemoth of a franchise that is currently, at least in the movie sphere, suffering tremendously. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily financially, but critically, it's not doing well. So they were going to step into the trilogy that comes after the Star Wars saga concluding. And shortly before these guys exited, not really shortly, maybe a few weeks ago now, Kevin Feige was announced to be producing an upcoming Star Wars film. So they would be producing a trilogy or at least a movie before Kevin Feige's movie comes out. So they would just be known as the guys that not only killed Game of Thrones or dropped the ball of Game of Thrones, but were producing the Star Wars movies that were standing in the way of Kevin Feige's movie. That was a big part of it. And they also exited because Netflix is offering them so much money. And these guys figure, you know, we already destroyed our reputation with one fan base. We can't do it again because then we're definitely screwed.
Do you think that's what they were thinking, though? Like, do you think they care?
Absolutely.
That
they actually, apparently, at a film festival they showed up at recently, they openly admitted they did. They just lucked. They said, I think they quote lucked out with Game of Thrones.
Oh,
so they clearly it was. I mean, I think it's plain to everyone. It was a rush job. Just think about all the mistakes alone, and not only just the storytelling, but like the coffee cup and Game of Thrones episodes. I mean, you got to be kidding me. How does a show with that budget, that cast, that success make it all the way to television and no one see that there's a coffee cup in the shot?
It happened more than once. Like, there
yeah, that's
multiple
what I'm saying.
Drinks.
That alone shows that they rushed it. And obviously people are thinking like, oh, they just want to get to Star Wars. Now they've quit Star Wars. So everyone's like, well, now they did that for nothing.
Yeah.
So
everyone's like saying, oh, now Disney doesn't even want them on.
Yeah, so and this is kind of a good thing. It's kind of a blessing in disguise, because don't get me wrong, I wish Kathleen Kennedy the best in her life, but as far as producing Star Wars movie, it's not gone very well. And I've heard, and Grace Randolph says she's heard rumblings that Kathleen Kennedy is the Disney's wanted her to go for a while. It's just a matter of replacing her. And they think after the Star Wars or Rise of Skywalker concludes that she will probably step down, but it might be like a firing in disguise. But they need someone to replace her. And they made another good point is that had these boys continued with their Star Wars trilogy, Kathleen Kennedy's role would have looked less attractive to other people that could possibly fill it, because they'd be coming into a position that someone has already hired other directors and writers to work on films. They'd just kind of be filling that space versus starting fresh.
That's a good point.
So my dream, and I think many people's dreams, is to have Dave Filoni step into her role. I don't know if he'd be willing to take on that role, if he'd be offered to him, but he's a just passionate Star Wars fan. He killed it with his work on Clone Wars and Rebels. And he's done a lot of work with Jon Favreau on The Mandalorian, which we should talk about that trailer here in a second. That would be cool. But anyone filling that void, you just got to hope is a passionate Star Wars fan who understands the fan base and the franchise and is genuinely excited about it. So I don't know, but it is kind of funny that these guys backed out.
Yeah.
So I hope their Netflix deal pays off for them. I'm sure this is kind of a side note, but HBO Max has announced it's kind of their streaming service that's coming, which is kind of cool. It's a subscription based, but if you're already an HBO subscriber, you automatically will have HBO Max. But it's not only all their current content, but a bunch of new original content as well. And one of the announcements was The House of the Dragon, which is the prequel series about the House of Targaryen that takes place 300 years before Game of Thrones, that is coming to the service. Plus a bunch of other things. There's a Green Lantern show coming to it as well.
Yep. Made by the same guy that kind of created the Arrowverse on CW.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yep. It looks like I've heard that DC Universe, the streaming service, is probably going to tank because of this, and some of the shows may survive and make it over to HBO Max, but that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, so it's fine. I think it's like starting to get to the point where there's too many subscriptions.
Oh, far too many. I can't afford all these. It's hilarious to me. I think we were just talking about how like everyone was afraid of the net neutrality thing. Like, oh no, everyone's going to have to pay for different things on the internet, like pay for websites or pay for subscriptions. And like, even without all that happening, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Or even without the net neutrality thing passing, there are a billion subscription services now. So
I almost think that there's going to be like, I think these TV companies would be really smart in trying to find a way for them to, in some way, bundle a bunch of these services into, like, having one payment. Because, I mean, that's sort of how, like, TV was, right? But, like, because it's, like, there's already too many of these things. Like, we got Disney Plus launching in a couple of weeks. There's just already so many. Like, people can't afford all these. And you know, they're definitely not going to keep their subs active if they do. Like, they're going to cancel one because they're going to pay for one because they're watching a show, cancel another because they're not using it at the time. You know, it's going to be one of those whole, like, you know, situations where all these companies are kind of hurting because they can't keep active subs. Or maybe they can. Like, I don't know how it's going to work out. But I don't know. I see it getting way too crowded here in the near future. And I'm not really sure what's going to happen because TV is definitely not the future. Because no one's watching it anymore, so it's going to be interesting. excuse me, interesting to see what happens here pretty soon.
I agree.
God, my throat is just killing me today.
I'm sorry, Jacob.
But that's all my news, Garrett. You got anything else?
I don't think so. There's the launch trailer for. Let's talk about Mandalorian for a second. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of new footage in that trailer, but the trailer is outstanding.
Dude, this trailer was cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that show. That's coming very soon, too. I think it's the 12th, November 12th.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so that's thrilling, man. That show looks so good. And I love how the "yeah, good" line from The Mandalorian is like a meme now. Anything Star Wars related.
Yeah, I think he looks like a badass. The show looks great.
It does, man. I'm so excited. And so many talented directors attached to it. An awesome cast. And I haven't been reviews for Mandalorian yet, but I've heard just first reactions are really, really strong for it. So I'm so excited for that.
That's awesome, dude.
It'd be fun to kind of like give our thoughts in each episode, considering it's one episode at a time when it comes out. So that'd be fun to do.
We should do that.
Also, the launch trailer for Fallen Order, I am sad to announce that my quote did not make the trailer.
I saw that. I was looking for your quote.
Yeah. One did make it that was very similar to mine that a lot of people sort of said. It was like, this is the Star Wars adventure you're looking for. And that's where I goofed. I should have thought about the Star Wars pun of looking for instead of waiting for. Because, and mine was a little wordier too. I said the single player Star Wars adventure we've been waiting for. And maybe had I said the single player Star Wars adventure you're looking for, it would have made it. Yeah. But I thought single player was the key word there that would like really sell it. But that quote made it over mine. I was kind of bummed, but it's all good. At least it was considered. It was like Oscars. At least I was nominated.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But yeah, cool trailer. I'm excited.
Yeah, it showed some more lightsaber combat, and that's what I want, dude. I want that juicy combat.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I know I said this before, but it's probably my most anticipated game this fall. I'm really looking forward to it. That and Pokemon, actually. Really excited for Pokemon, which they actually both come out on the same day, Garrett.
I totally forgot about Pokemon.
Like, it's such a terrible situation. Because I want to play them both so badly and have to, like, play them both now and put less time into both, which is unfortunate. But, you know, we'll get through it. It's, you know, first world problems being a gamer.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, man. Do we have any good questions this week?
There might be a handful here. Let me pull them up.
Okay. I'll leave you in charge of this.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, as we say every week, for writing into this podcast to supply us with questions for our discussion at the end here. It's always a good time. We never know what to expect, and it really spruces up the episode. So thank you so much for your continued support. If you'd like your questions read live on the show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming, or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. And always include the hashtag AskIOG so that we know you want your questions read live. All that being said, first one comes from, where am I here? Because this is what's tricky about AskIOG section. Sometimes it turns into a discussion thread and I can't find any of the questions.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, dude. I think
I might have added
at
to that this week, so I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, dude.
I could just start deleting all the responses that aren't questions. I could be a dictator of the Ask IOG. I have that power.
Tell us a funny joke while I'm looking through this real quick, Jacob.
I have a question pulled up that we could ask.
All right, let me just find where I'm at real quick just so I can continue after you read that.
Because I'm really bad at jokes, Garrett. I don't know if you know this, but I am not a joke man. There's an ounce of funny in me.
Where's October? I'm getting there.
You're good, dude. You're good. You know, I don't know who it is, but I'm sure someone out there appreciates a moment of silence in a podcast. Are you trying to find ones from, like, the ones we didn't do last week?
Okay, here's one from Kyle I can start with that I didn't read last week.
Okay.
What's the one you have?
It's the one about, it's Fribe's question.
All right, go for it.
Oh, it's a very silly and dumb question, but I assume you have to pick which ones are your actually, let's rank these. There's three choices. We got tap water, bottled water, and well water.
We answered that last week.
Did we?
We did.
I don't think we did, but okay.
We did. I would literally bet my soul on it.
Okay. Well, my apologies.
It's okay. I chose bottled water.
Yeah, same. I would never do tap water. I rinse my mouth out with tap water when I brush my teeth.
Yeah, me too.
So there's that.
All right, from Kyle. Bongres, bongres. Well, boys, now that I got Jacob on Demon Slayer, what do you think about the show? I really enjoy the characters in the animation studio, some of the best in the business. Another absolutely excellent show going on right now is Dr. Stone. It's an awesome story with fantastic writing that teaches principles of science. Super fun and interesting watch. Also, sweet lordy, this month is going to be tough on our wallets. Pokemon, Death Stranding, Outer Worlds, COD, and Fallen Order. What are the titles that you guys are most anticipated for? What are some that you can see yourselves waiting a bit on? Love all the work you guys do, and check out our Dr. Stone. It's a hell of a great time. Kyle, thank you for writing in, as always, my dear friend. I can't say anything about the anime yet because I haven't had time to watch it, but I'm glad that my list will never cease to grow with our anime ambassador providing us with suggestions. What about you, Jacob?
Yep, Demon Slayer's great. I told Kyle that I would start Dr. Stone here fairly soon, but I lied because I'm going to catch up on the first three episodes of My Hero that have come out for the new season, which I've been watching, and it's good so far. It's starting out a little bit slow, but yeah, it's good. And after that, I do intend to start Dr. Stone, so maybe next podcast I'll have some updates on that. But in terms of his other question, what titles are you guys most anticipated for? What are some you can see yourselves waiting on a bit? Definitely Pokemon and obviously COD, because we already talked about it, and Fallen Order for me. I'm going to wait on Outer Worlds probably till later this year, and I assume I'll be picking up Death Stranding too when it comes out, you know, pending reviews. What about you?
I have to wait on all of them except for Star Wars because I'm reviewing it, but depending on the Death Stranding reviews, I'm either going to jump into Outer Worlds right after that or Death Stranding right after that.
Okay.
And maybe play Pokemon closer to Christmas.
Yeah, I really think
Pokemon's gonna be good. I got to get a Switch again, though.
Yeah. Like, I always feel so bad when I talk about Switch games because I know you don't have one anymore.
Yeah, it's just a real shame. I still can't believe I lost that. That was a whole just disastrous event that day.
Which event was that?
That was when I met the girl on the plane.
No, I mean, like, where were you going?
Oh, yeah, that was for FIFA, I think.
Oh, yeah. All for FIFA, too.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that?
Thanks, EA. This is your fault. Well, thank you for the question, Kyle.
Yeah, dude. Let's see. Discussion. All right, here's one from Oh the Massacre. Great line from an Attack song, The People's Elbow. Happy Call of Duty week. What are your most memorable Call of Duty moments? Mine was Modern Warfare 2. Nothing beat coming home, playing with my friends, and screaming into the headset when I accidentally got all the pro challenge, one bullet, two headshots, out of complete chance, but it was amazing. Thanks, guys. Love everything you do and appreciate the time you take for all of us in the community. Enjoy. Love y'all. We love you too, my friend. Favorite Call of Duty memories? I mean, I have a billion, but let me hear from you first, Jacob. Are you even there?
Sorry, dude. I had to get up and go spit something out. What's up?
Oh, that's all right.
What are some
of your favorite Call of Duty memories?
Oh, well, most of my memories are from Black Ops 2, because that's when I really started playing Call of Duty, like, hardcore. I have so many memories of just, like, grinding that game, like, every night. And I would, like, I was so obsessed with, like, getting all the gold camos for the SMGs, which would lead to the diamond skin, which I eventually got. And that was, like, a really big accomplishment for me at the time. And, like, I still, because I have pictures of it that I have saved to my photos on my MacBook. So I, like, pull it up every once in a while. I'm like, man, I did that. That was cool. And I think I got to prestige rank, like, 8 when I played that game. So definitely the most I ever played of any Call of Duty by far. I think there were 10 prestiges. So I played that game so much. And which led me to be really hyped about Call of Duty Ghost. And I, like, bought a special edition of that game. And that game just bombed completely, and I hated it. So that felt like a big slap in the face when I got on that hype train and was let down. But I have lots of memories. It's funny. Like, I have a lot of memories of Call of Duty, but not from playing it, but actually, like, going to our friend Zach's house and just watching you guys play Call of Duty, like, all the time after school. Because, like, back then I only played, like, WoW, so, and I didn't tell anyone about it, as everyone knows, so I kind of just, like, went over to friends' houses and watched them play games that I was terrible at, and I, you know, didn't even own a console to play those games, but I always enjoyed watching other people play, and, you know, just how they reacted to things that were happening. I thought it was funny, but I'm sure you have better stories than me, because I am a Call of Duty noob.
Yeah, well, you've been playing for a while. I've played almost every single Call of Duty. A couple of the iterations are on, like, PS2, like, Big Red 1 I never played, but I played the very first just plain Call of Duty title, Played many of them. Of course, loved playing Call of Duty 2 back in the day, but 3 was always one of my favorites. I've talked about 3 a bit on the podcast, but 3 was great. Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, of course, changed everything.
Have you played them all?
I played almost all of them, yeah, except for a few of the very original ones that were like side titles of the first game. I haven't played this, but all the mainline entries I've played.
They've gotten so much money out of people. Like, I'm sure a ton of people have played all of them.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
That's $60 every year.
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of my Call of Duty memories certainly stem from Modern Warfare 1 and 2. Playing with Preston and his uncle, Zach, and all the guys we went to high school with, just playing hours and hours and hours, hours on end.
Yeah, I remember for a while in high school, like, whenever the new Call of Duty came out, like, everyone played with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a big event.
Yeah, even friend groups and cliques at school that didn't talk to each other still played Call of Duty together. It's the place where we all communed. But
I assume it's still like that.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, we had so much fun on Call of Duty 4 and 2. And I remember this distinctly. I played the Modern Warfare 1 campaign, and I played about an hour of multiplayer. And I was like, no, this is fine. Because I was so obsessed with Call of Duty 3. It was so different from Call of Duty 3 that I was like, oh, whatever. I'm not really into this. So I literally returned it to GameStop. I just traded it back in to get something else. And I think a few days go by and Preston calls me. He's like, dude, Modern Warfare's multiplayer is the best thing on the planet. I was like, what are you talking about? He started telling me about all the attachments and the gun customization because I hadn't played long enough to actually unlock Create a Class. So he told me about all this. I was like, wow, that sounds cool. So I wound up picking it back up again, and the rest is history. We played for countless hours. But yeah, the rest is kind of a blur, like Modern Warfare 3. And I mean, Black Ops 1 was one of my favorite campaigns, still one of my favorite campaigns. Always more or less have enjoyed the multiplayer in them, except for Black Ops 3 and Infinite Warfare's multiplayer.
Infinite Warfare's multiplayer was awful.
Yeah, it was not good. But I can't really think of too many memories aside from just Call of Duty 3 through Modern Warfare 2. But I love playing with all of our buddies back in the day.
Yeah.
Never called in a nuke in Modern Warfare 2, unfortunately. Always came close. I think I had on multiple occasions, I got 24 kills, but never hit 25. It's amazing.
I'm never good enough to get a nuke.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Garrett.
Yeah, MasterGuard, thanks for writing in, brother. Aaron Kentu writes in and says, hey, poopy pants babies.
Hey.
What would you guys want to see happen with VR titles to draw you back in? More AAA titles? More story-driven games? Better or more accessible hardware? Maybe a Jacob dating simulator.
Hey.
That's a big one for me. For me, I pretty much only like games that are super physics-based, and I'm just waiting for more to be released. Huh. More games like Super Hot VR, I'm down for. Anything where I'm shooting stuff is fun. I can't really think of anything specific because there really is strong technology that exists now. I think Oculus has a wireless mode, and I think Vive has a wireless mode or wireless hardware. So that was a big thing for me, was all the wires. But I've been so out of the VR loop now, I don't know what the latest thing is. So
yeah. I'm not really into VR. I don't know. It doesn't excite me at all. Like, if I'm going to have, like, free time to play a game, if I'm looking at, like, over here as, you know, a PC game that, you know, checks all the boxes in terms of what I want in a game, that I'm looking at a VR game that there hasn't been one that's come out yet that has really, you know, inspired me or gotten me excited to even want to try it or buy a headset. Like, that's the main problem, right, is the entry point of buying the headset. Or something that I'm not that interested in, and there hasn't been like a good experience that's gonna sell it yet for me, and that's the problem, is that I don't even know what I would want because the space is just still so young and underdeveloped that anything that would come out just doesn't really seem compelling to me. But if it is still like the path of the future, like I would want some way that a first person shooter in VR would feel like Call of Duty. But, you know, I don't know how that would work or if that's even possible. Like, maybe it is, but we're just a long way away from it. It's kind of hard to say because I've never been one for, you know, good ideas or, like, you know, creating new things or just being, you know, imaginative. But I've always just kind of been like, you know, you guys tell me what I should want to play, and if it excites me, then I'll play it, you know. So that's always where I've kind of stood on the issue. But I do hope that VR does succeed, because it seems like it's kind of hit a stale point where no one's really talking about it anymore. No one's really making that many games for it. So it's kind of in a weird period where it's kind of going through some growing pains. So I'm not sure what'll happen to VR. I assume it's going to keep going. And it seems like Sony's fully behind it.
Yeah, I hope it continues, because I've had a lot of fun with a couple of VR titles, and I'd like to see it continue to evolve. I do want to play Blood and Truth. Did that ever come out? Is that out?
Is that the war one?
No, it's like the Secret Agent game. Let me look.
I have no idea, dude.
Blood and Truth.
I'm not the guy to ask.
It's like an extension of London Heist. Truth VR release date. Because I've heard nothing about it. May 28th, 2019. So it's been out for a long time. I haven't heard anything about it.
When was the last time you used your PSVR?
Oof, man, probably for a video we did. Actually, the last time I used it was for a COG video I did. It was actually a pretty funny video, but I played that Elijah Wood produced VR psychological horror game.
How was that?
Transcendence, that's what it's called. It was all right. I thought it was just a funny video because my reactions. I like genuinely screamed like a girl a couple of times. But it was all right. I like more action-packed VR stuff. Like, I think Super Hot VR is brilliant. I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had a lot of fun with Farpoint. Remember playing Farpoint, our walkthrough?
I do, yeah. That was
a pretty good time.
It was frustrating at times.
I was so ready to be done by the end of it, but
yeah,
I did like the first half of it especially.
It wasn't that memorable, but it was fun.
No, it was cool using the aim controller, though. I enjoyed that.
I agree. That was cool.
So what else we got here? I think we got time for a couple more. Big Colt writes in and says, Aaron Cantu, thanks so much, man, for writing in as always. Big Colt says, so with the China and Blizzard stuff going on right now, I was wondering, would you rather have to eat Taco Bell daily, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and have easy, healthy poops, or you can eat whatever you want, but every poop is the worst diarrhea you've ever had? Well, this is easy, dude. I mean, I love Taco Bell enough to probably eat it every day and have fine poops. But I'm not hell-bent on eating whatever I want and having just horrible diarrhea every time.
Dude, what does this have to do with China and Blizzard?
Everything, man.
This has nothing to do with that.
Dude, Taco Bell revolves around everything in one way or another when you really think about it.
Okay, so the question is, would I rather have Taco Bell daily for every meal with healthy
and
poops?
And have healthy poops.
Or eat
anything
whatever
you want, but have diarrhea every time.
Okay.
That's an easy answer for me, man. I will say, like, a good liberating diarrhea isn't so bad sometimes.
What?
Because you feel like you're really cleaning out the tank big time. I mean, it's very rare for me, thank the Lord, but a good diarrhea isn't always a bad thing. I don't want dysentery.
I mean, I want to say whatever I want, because I don't want to eat Taco Bell every day. You know, like, that would get old. Too much of any one thing is not good, you know?
Yeah, if you say so, Jacob.
You know what? I would eat Taco Bell every day. Fuck it.
Yeah, there you go. We should get Taco Bell together again soon.
Gotta have those nice poops.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We should, actually. It's been a little while.
I agree, Jacob. Next time you come down here.
I'd love that.
Me too. Big finale, Matty G. Thanks for writing in, Big Colt. Matty G says, this is a COG connected question, so I totally get it if you can't answer it here. Anyways, my question is, what exactly is the Luigi's Mansion 3 review? If you haven't checked it out, I would say do so because it is so damn odd. So I forgot I did check this out. It's a James Paley review, and James Paley is one of my favorite writers at COG Connected. I can see why people think it's weird, but I think it's because I know James personally and I've been around him a lot. Specifically at a couple E3s to know or understand what his writing style and personality is like. So he's coming from a place of mostly satire when he's talking. But I can see why his writing style in that review could be confusing. But so I understood where he was coming from, but I won't deny that it's a bit odd, but knowing James, I understand why it is the way it is. So it didn't affect me in any way, but a lot of people were reacting poorly to it on YouTube. So
what did he give the game?
He gave it a 75. I said like a 7.5 out of 10. He said he hated it, but he gave it a 7.5 because he recognized that it's still pretty solid. But I think the big hang up is that he said he just couldn't finish it. He said he got close to the end, but I guess he said he more or less understood what the game was before he actually finished it. So a lot of people are pretty upset about that, yeah, which I can understand. But overall, I understood it just fine. But that's his writing style. I'm a big fan myself.
I keep forgetting that game's a thing. And I don't know if I want to play it or not.
Yeah, I don't have an interest. It's mostly just puzzles, but yeah.
Like, a part of me just wants to give it a chance because it's, you know, it's a well-known Nintendo title.
Right.
I don't know. I might look at it and check it out. But I got a lot of stuff going on right now, so probably not.
Jacob, I think that's going to do it for the podcast this week. It was a pleasure. I know it was early, but thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, man. This was a tough one to get through. I'm still a little sleepy, but you know, I'm going to go get some coffee right now, watch some YouTube videos, and kind of settle into the day before I go work out.
So. That sounds wonderful. I'm going to go to class and do absolutely nothing.
Well, I wish you luck, and I hope that you learn something.
Thank you. I will not learn anything, but I'm going to go anyway, because I will literally be kicked out of school if I don't. So it should be a good time.
Well, but, you skipped one day for me.
I did skip one. Wait, what were we doing again?
We went to Foxborough's.
Yeah, that was well worth it.
Dude, I still really, like, that was such a good meal. Like, I can't say that enough. It's so good. If you guys are ever in Atlanta, please go to Foxborough's.
Please do. Well, Jacob, it was awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We love you to bits. Thank you for all your continued support of the podcast overall and your community questions. Please keep them coming. We always love to read them. And yeah, happy Call of Duty if you're playing Call of Duty, Outer Worlds if you're enjoying it.
Happy China Week. I mean, BlizzCon.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll be a topic next week. Yeah, a lot of fun games coming up. We look forward to talking about all of them with you on the podcast and on Discord. But hope you all have a wonderful, joy-filled, blessed week. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. Everyone take care. See ya.
See ya.